Welcome to Talk Safety to Me, a podcast from the North Dakota Safety Council, where we discuss safety at home, in the workplace, and in our communities. Recorded at the Radio Access Studio in Bismarck, North Dakota. You can find Talk Safety to Me on 102.5 FM or online at radioaccess.org or ndsc.org.
Hi, I'm Chuck Claremont, and I'm the CEO of the North Dakota Safety Council. And more relevant to you, I'm the talk show host of Talk Safety to Me, the NDSC podcast. Hey, today we're going to talk to John Wuta. He's one of our most, entertaining trainers, okay? And he's also one of our best. He's a former paramedic. He's worked for the North Dakota Safety Council since 2017. And he teaches primarily our first aid, CPR side of things, emergency care. And we're going to talk about that pretty soon here. But hey, when he isn't working, one thing he is doing is he's fishing or hunting. And heck, there's even times when he's working that he's fishing and hunting. So today we're going to combine those two things, and we're going to talk about hunting and we're going to talk about safety. So John, what else should people know about you?
That I like to hunt and fish, and I can multitask, and that I can work and hunt and fish at the same time.
That's all we want them to know, right? Is that right. You like working from a fishing boat?
Yes, and I'm good at it.
And you're good at it. Okay. So hey, let's get right into this. Let's get into some questions about safety and first aid, CPR, and specifically on the hunting side, because I think that's coming up. I know some hunting season's already started. Dove season. We've got. I think even duck season's already open.
Duck and early goose.
We've got some waterfowl. We've got some upland game. We've got people that have been bow hunting already.
And pheasant will be opening here real soon.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of activity that's happening. And so it's perfect timing for us to kind of talk about hunter safety. And although we don't do hunter safety, the North Dakota Safety Council, we leave that up to the North Dakota Game and Fish. I know we got a ton of avid hunters on staff. And of course, as the North Dakota Safety Council, we're very safety conscious. So from a medical perspective, what are some of the safety mistakes that hunters make?
You know, I think a couple different things, right? First off is physical conditioning, making sure that if you're going to go pheasant hunting, if you're going to spend time out in the western part of our state, that's rugged terrain, and conditioning becomes a factor. Planning in terms of what am I going to do if I have an emergency, right? What am I going to do if I twist an ankle? What am I going to do if we suffer a fall? I think the last one is just communications. If you're going out bow hunting by yourself, if you're going to be particularly up in a tree stand, if you're going to be out in the Badlands, letting people know where you're at, letting your spouse know or some family member that you're going to be in this particular area and have a plan. Spouses, at least my spouse, not always up to speed on access points that you might be using in certain locations, and to communicate those and where they can direct first responders to if they don't hear from you.
Okay, so we'll probably get into some of those things specifically, but one of the things that we like to talk to people about is prepping. You mentioned planning for hunting, and so what are some safety-related things that people should be bringing with them when they go out hunting?
So first and foremost, again, if you're by yourself, GPS coordinates, right? As technology advances, one of the things that is available now is texting through 911. Those services are available in the state of North Dakota. And being able to send them your specific GPS locations from a first responder perspective, having an exact location of where you're at instead of using local terminology to describe your location, giving us those GPS coordinates is huge. And a first aid kit is obviously, you go out, maybe you're breaking in a new pair of boots, you're gonna get blisters, you're gonna twist ankles. Having some basic supplies with you, that will help you mitigate that situation. And the last thing is from a trauma perspective, right? God forbid somebody, rolls an ankle and we end up with an open dislocation or an open fracture, or, somebody gets shot, right? Somebody gets stuck with an arrow, somebody gets and it doesn't have to necessarily be a fatal injury, right? If somebody shoots themselves in the foot, which is fairly common, having first aid supplies that are adequate to handle that situation, right? Larger injuries require large dressings, right? Most first aid kits come with fairly small dressings. We need to think things through and make sure that our hunting packs contain adequate supplies and supplies that are appropriate for those variety of emergencies.
So great things, obviously. And one of the things, you mentioned some injuries, you mentioned shooting yourself in the foot. As a first responder, there had to be some things you probably saw out there in the field Can you talk a little bit about some of the injuries that you saw during hunting season?
Yeah, it's one of those areas where, you know, the injuries tend to either be very minor or they tend to be significant, right? Some of the minor things that we saw are eye injuries, making sure that, you know, when you're deer hunting and you're beating through the bushes, if you're pheasant hunting and you're around cattails and you're in taller grass, make sure that you've got some type of eye protection. We would see through the emergency department, we would see a lot of corneal abrasions, foreign objects in people's eyes that we need to get those cleaned out. And just simply putting on a pair of safety glasses goes a long ways to avoid those things. Between blisters, you know, the other big one, and this is really the sad one, is particularly for bow hunters that hunt out of tree stands, right? Their failure to wear fall protection when they're up in a tree stand, right? We would get, when I was operating as a flight paramedic, we would get a lot of flights to guys that had been out tree, you know, in a tree stand, right, had fallen, had broken their back, and now they're paralyzed, say, from the waist down or the abdominal area down, and, you know, don't have cell phone service, right? So they lay there. And this is where I talked about earlier, is having a plan, making sure people know where you're hunting at and what time you'll be home. Because a lot of these guys, they lay there for, you know, 12 to 24 hours before they're found again.
So when should they be doing fall protection? Is it, hey, I'm 2 feet off the ground, 3 feet, 6 feet? Is there like a standard level that you should start doing some type of fall protection?
Yeah, and obviously these, you know, hunting doesn't fall under OSHA guidelines, right, that we don't normally have. But what we consider a critical fall is 1 to 1.5 times a person's height. If you fall from, you know, say 6 to 8 feet off the ground, and there's other factors that come into this, right? Your general health, your age, and things like that. But if you fall from that height, those are the areas, those fall heights, that we're going to be suspicious that you've got some type of injuries. And you don't have to fall that far to break a back, right, and to suffer those type of injuries. All depends on how you fall. If you fall and land on your head, well, then you're probably going to have some other problems, right?
Right. So you mentioned physical conditioning, and, you know, that's one thing that you see so many times. As, of course, some of us are getting older. We're all getting older, I guess.
And fatter.
Yeah, exactly. As you get older, it's, no matter what you do, it feels like that, hey, you're going to gain weight unless you do some type of physical conditioning. And, you know, preparing yourself for the hunting season, a lot of people don't think about that. They think, oh, it's hunting season, let me go out and get my gun, make sure my cooler's ready, I got some water, I got some whatever, and, you know, pack my bag for some sandwiches. Okay, there's more to prepping for the hunting season than that. Obviously, physical conditioning is a big thing.
Yes, huge thing, right? So, you know, there's a difference in hunting. If we're going out for a casual walk and we're going to do some pheasant hunting or we're going to be some grouse hunting, yeah, it's good to have your legs about you to get your legs in shape. The thing that I love is these guys that put in for the big three, right? And they know they're going to put some miles on, but they wait until the moment that they find out, hey, I'm getting an elk tag in Western North Dakota.
Big three, elk, moose, and
Bighorn sheep. Right. So they're going to be in, they know they're going to be in the hills, but they just as soon as I get that tag, then I'm going to start working out. And so you see guys that are walking through, particularly in the Bismarck area, we've got people walking with their backpacks on and they're getting in shape. And those are the type of things that you have to do, is making sure that you're in good physical shape, not only for your health, right, when you get out there, but also makes your hunt more enjoyable. Yeah. Especially if you're hunting with a group of guys and you're the one that's not in shape and you're sucking wind when you get to the top of a hill, it's not necessarily that much fun. I was going to mention one other thing, but it slips my mind, but I'll come to it here.
You're getting old. You're forgetting things too, right?
I'm getting old, yes.
So
I know what I was going to say. Okay. I was going to say, pay attention to your family history, right? This is a big deal. As we get older, we get into our 40s and 50s, right? And when all of a sudden now we're going to go out and we're going to do a hunt, and, you know your family history. If your dad has cardiac disease, if your mom has cardiac disease, likewise your grandparents, know at what ages they started having problems. If your dad had his heart attack at 45 or 50, right? We need to pay attention to that and be aware of it.
Absolutely. So we've talked about before the hunt, we've talked about during the hunt a little bit. So let's just say you're successful. All right. You're able to bag a deer. You're able to get some pheasants, some ducks, you name it. Okay. So how should you safely transport those birds or their deer or the elk or the moose?
Yeah. So again, there's legal transport, right? Which our friends at the Game and Fish, will have a different, you know, they're going to have their legal side, but also the safe side of transporting. And again, if after we harvest an animal, that animal is still warm at that point, right? And we worry about bacteria growth and infection. Making sure that we immediately get those animals cooled down, right? Get that deer gutted out, get that elk gutted out, and even with your pheasants, right? And birds are probably the worst because as you're traveling around hunting for the day, we maybe have birds that are in the back of a pickup truck, not only collecting dust, but if you've got the tonneau cover closed, now it's 150 degrees underneath that tonneau cover, right? Just ripping the breast out of the bird, obviously leaving the wings and identification stuff in place, and then getting that into a cooler, getting it cooled down is going to make a huge difference, not only from an eating perspective, right, but also making sure what you're going to be eating isn't going to make you sick.
Yeah, great suggestion. So the other part that those of us who've hunted with dogs recognize how much more fun and enjoyable it makes to hunting the upland or waterfowl game. And so hunter safety doesn't just pertain to the individual. It also pertains to our pets and our dogs. And so people are transporting pets, and some people really just don't get it sometimes. And what are some of the safe ways for us to transport our dogs, and how should we keep them safe?
Yeah, animal care is a huge thing if you're hunting with dogs, and particularly in years like this, right, where it's really warm. If you've hunted anything during the youth pheasant hunting season, it's typically really warm during those times. And then now this year we're having kind of extended heat, and we're well into October, and the hunting season's upon us. We need to make sure we're taking care of those animals. And a couple things about dogs is, right, dogs don't sweat other than through the paws of their feet. That's where they sweat to help keep that area cool, but they're largely air-cooled by their panting and things like that. A couple things we can do is we need to know our dog, right? Don't push them too hard when that dog starts to slow down, and making sure that we have plenty of water for that dog in some capacity. And, you can dump water out of a bottle, but it's good. They make these nice little collapsible cloth bowls that you can take with you, put in your hunting pack, put some water in there for those dogs so they make sure they stay well hydrated. The other thing is clipping your dog short. And the primary reason that hunters clip their dog short is so they make sure they're not bringing a bunch of burrs and things back with them. But it also does a large job at just helping keep the animal cool, right? Take care of our pets. They're part of our family, and they're our hunting pets and our hunting friends and buddies, and we want to make sure that we keep them healthy, and we get to hunt with them for many years.
So we talked first aids too, first aid kits.
Oh, huge.
Should you have a first aid kit for dogs?
Absolutely. It's not uncommon I've seen dogs fillet their backs open, right, where they go through underneath the barbed wire fence, paying attention to things like that. And I've also seen dogs have some fairly shallow arteries on their lower parts of their legs. So jumping through fences, you'll see arterial bleeds from dogs' legs. And making sure, right, the medical supplies are the same. Making sure you have a product called Coban, or what is an adhesive band, a cohesive bandage, a lot of times referred to as vet wrap, that you'll see used even in the blood bank if you donate blood. It's a bandage that you can put around, sticks to itself. Having some of those basic supplies, not only for you, but also for your pet, because, we're out in the middle of nowhere, and it might be a half an hour before we can get a vet. And if you're hunting on a weekend, that vet may not be near the town you're hunting by. You may have to travel a ways to find a vet clinic that's open.
And don't just take your dog from the couch out to the hunting.
Oh yeah, huge,
hunting area.
They're no different than you are, right? If they've been, laying around eating plenty of treats like my dog is, you got to give them a couple weeks to get in shape, right? So yeah, they'll go,
Yeah, they'll run until they can't.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Then you're carrying them.
I remember hunting with David Wheaton one time. He was a professional tennis player. He came back to hunt, and he had a big lab, and we were out 5 miles, a big long walk, and this dog wasn't in shape. I ended up picking the dog up, putting it over my shoulders. This was 20 years ago, okay, mind you, and carrying that dog about 2 miles. But David did it for about 50 yards, maybe, and said, oh, that's enough, I can't carry anymore. So I ended up carrying that dog and got it to some water, and just laid in water, and obviously make sure those dogs are in shape, not just the people.
Yeah, exactly. And if you've got to cool a dog down, right, they love to get into the water, but if even just taking some of your water and laying them on their back and putting cold water on their belly and getting them out in the wind and letting some of that heat evaporate off their body is huge. So
we talk about equipment, and I know one thing when we talk first aid and CPR, surely it goes hand in hand with AEDs. Is that something, I know it's an expensive piece, but is that something that we should have with? And, if you're on a hunting lodge especially, is that something you'd recommend a hunting lodge would have?
So yeah, absolutely, right? As we get older, sudden cardiac arrest from heart attacks is an occurrence. And a couple things to keep in mind, right? So if you're hunting, Chuck, where is that emergency most likely to happen? Out in the field or while you are at the lodge?
I would say probably in the field.
Right, at the field, right? So the proper location, if you're going to have an AED, right? We sell a lot of AEDs at the North Dakota Safety Council. And over the years, particularly the last 2 years, we're starting to see more and more people purchase personal AEDs for their hunting parties, right? And we take those AEDs and we package them into a nice small Pelican case that's very durable, it's waterproof, and they can take it and they can throw it in the back of their Suburban or their pickup with the rest of their hunting gear. And that way, when they drive out to the field, right, they've got that with them so somebody can go and get the pickup. It's important to remember, for every minute that you spend in cardiac arrest, your chance of survival goes down by 10%. So if you're unresponsive in cardiac arrest, even though somebody's doing CPR on you out in the field, which is another important skill to make sure you have as a hunter, is that you know how to properly do CPR and you do a good aggressive CPR, making sure that that AED is readily available, right? If somebody's got to walk a quarter mile, a half mile to get back to a vehicle, and then they can drive, maybe they're going to drive that vehicle out to bring the AED out quicker, right? That's still going to take a significant amount of time. So obviously, we're not going to carry an AED while they are getting smaller. We're not going to carry that with us while we're out in the field. That would just be a little bit too much. But making sure it's in as close proximity as you can have. Likewise, if you run a hunting lodge or you have that equipment, making sure that those guides have those AEDs out in the field and they're not sitting back at the lodge that might be 5, 10, 15 miles away from where the activity is going on.
Yeah, surely if you have a mule or you have a... or some other four-wheel drive vehicle or something you're taking out there out to the site, it's pretty easy to be attaching an AED to one of those things along with a first aid kit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's a huge deal. And it's like we said, you know, we get older people out, you get older people hunting, and that's when those emergencies are going to happen. And we would have a lot of those. And then that goes back to my first comment about knowing where you're at, right?
Yep.
GPS location, if you've ever been a public service type person and you've been out in the country trying to find somebody, right? It's a lot of space out there to try to pin down a hunting party, especially if they don't know where they're at specifically. So,
yeah, one of the things that I don't think people maybe think enough of is we mentioned a little bit with dogs and dehydration specifically is that's a part that people, you can't say enough about drinking water and having fluids with you when you're out there on the hunt.
Huge, huge deal, right? And, you know, as we, you know, part of hunting is obviously relaxing in the evening, and there might be some alcohol and unhealthy foods involved with that, and we tend to get ourselves dehydrated or even wear ourselves down, right? Hydration is a huge deal, and I always tell people the best way to tell if you are hydrated is by your urinary output, right? And monitoring and making sure that you're passing water on a regular interval. When you go out hunting in these warm days, you know, pay attention to how often you've gone to the bathroom, right? And making sure you're drinking water or some type of sports drink to replace, you know, lost electrolytes and things along those lines. Heat exhaustion's real, and it's uncomfortable, it's painful, and most people don't realize that when we treat a patient that comes into the emergency department for heat exhaustion, how many liters do you think it takes, liters of fluid that we put into a body, Chuck, for somebody that comes in heat exhaustion? How many liters would you guess?
One.
We're probably pushing sometimes 4 or more liters of fluid to rehydrate somebody, right?
Lot.
Not only do we need to refill your vascular system, which is your arteries and your veins and your capillaries and your body, but that fluid needs to find its way out to the tissues, right? So that those all your cells in your body are bathed in water, right? And we need to make sure that that's true hydration, right? Making sure your kidneys are kicking out urine on a regular basis is a huge deal.
So it's not a badge of courage to not go to the bathroom an entire hunt.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's why God gave us the outdoors as far as I'm concerned, right?
Okay. Hey, so that was awesome. Lots of information there, John, and I appreciate that. And I know at the Safety Council, I know we have websites that kind of talk about hunter safety and these different concerns and those pieces that people can go to. So let's kind of finish this off here and say it's time to talk about our Talk Safety to Me, Would You Rather quiz. John, are you up for this?
Yeah.
You're in?
Here we go. I've heard rumors about this. And,
Buckle up.
Yep, here we go.
All right, here we go. So would you rather have a heart attack while you're hunting or while you're fishing?
So, yeah, obviously neither, right?
Neither.
But now, as outdoorsmen, at some point this becomes spiritual, right? How would you like to go? How would you like to go? Personally, I've always told my wife I want to die in a traumatic fishing accident, right? I'm good with that. But let's think about it. We got to think about this logistically. And I'm going to go with fishing. And the reason I'm going with fishing is that I can always find my way back to a boat ramp, right? I know where that boat ramp is. I can summon ZMS and I can say, I need you to meet me at this boat ramp, right? You have a heart attack while you're out in the field, lot of factors, right? You're a long ways from, you can be a long ways from a vehicle. If you're out in the Badlands, you might be 10 miles, right? 10 miles out, 10 miles back. Yeah, I'm going with the boat, Chuck.
You're going with the boat. I'm going to go with neither, but hey, if I had to pick one.
I would rather die fishing than hunting. That's okay. Just the way I am. I know what coyotes will get you, you know?
So lots of research on that. And, you know, unfortunately, there's boating accidents happen. So you talk about the Coast Guard saying, hey, what, 11 cardiac arrest deaths on boats in the U.S. in 2020, which anything more than one is too many, okay? And some other hunting facts I think that are interesting, that we talk about people who've never had heart trouble, they can suffer problems in the field, in the woods, even if they're long-time smokers. I mean, hey, that's one thing to really, if you're a smoker, if you got diabetes, you've got relatives, you mentioned about that, saying, hey, take a look at your family history. Once you turn 55, I'm going to be there in November, so that means I really got to be concerned.
Yeah, you're getting old.
I'm getting old. Yeah, you're not too far behind me. And then,
the key is I'm behind you.
You're behind me. Okay, that's right. Especially if unless we're running away from a bear in the woods.
Exactly. Don't have to be the fastest. Just don't be the slowest.
And you better be ahead of me.
That's right.
Okay. And one thing I think this hunting facts, you mentioned this too, is all hunters should hunt with one buddy. I know sometimes it's not possible when you say you like to go out and hunt. When you're in a tree stand or something, having multiple people is difficult. But I think it's important that, especially as we get older, go hunt with somebody. Something can happen. Have an exit plan. Learn first aid. Learn CPR. Those are all really extremely important. So
huge.
Hey, and lastly, some just notes just to kind of wrap things up here. Make sure you get your yearly physical.
Huge.
It's important for people to understand what might be going on with you.
You know, one thing I want to add there, right? So a lot of people say, I don't need to get a physical. I'm in good shape, right? One of the things that seeing your doctor on an annual basis looks for is that slow change, right? And establishes a baseline of how we're going to treat you today if you have heart problems or something along those lines. Because we know that in the last year, something has changed, right? It's a benchmark. Every time you see your doctor, we're establishing where you are health-wise. So those are important. So get your annual physical. Wives, drag your husbands down there.
And hey, it's not just it's the other way too. We're seeing amazing how many females you're seeing out in the field as well. So husbands, if you're not a hunter,
yeah,
get your wife down there too.
Exactly.
Physical, right?
Yeah, it goes both ways.
It goes both ways. Okay, get your heart rate up. Be flexible. Okay, I mean that's one thing too, is make sure you work on your flexibility. I think that's an extremely important that people don't think enough about. That is try to touch your toes. Work on that because it's important to be flexible.
One thing I want to add too, right? Going back to the cardiac piece of hunting, right? Simple things you can put in your first aid kit, right? A 99-cent bottle of chewable baby aspirin, right? Aspirin does a great job in minimizing coronary artery blockage in the event of a heart attack. So, you know, something as simple as giving somebody two baby aspirin, make sure they chew them up, or one adult aspirin, make sure they chew that up as well and they swallow it. Having those things with you, right? We always consider taking Advil or Tylenol with on a hunting trip because we're going to be sore the next morning, right? Nobody carries aspirin with them anymore. So making sure you have just a little bottle of Advil or a bottle of aspirin in your hunting pack, that can save people's lives.
Lots of great information. Yep. John Wuta was our guest today. John's the first aid. Well, he used to be the first aid CPR manager. Now we put him in a position to be a safety consultant where he kind of primarily works a lot in the first aid CPR. So thanks, John Wuta. I appreciate it. And we were talking hunter safety today on Talk Safety to Me, episode number 3. Have a great day. And everybody, be safe.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Talk Safety to Me, a podcast of the North Dakota Safety Council, recorded at the Radio Access Studio in Bismarck, North Dakota. You can find our podcast, safety training options, information about our annual conference, and much more at ndsc.org. You can also listen to Talk Safety to Me on 102.5 FM and online at radioaccess.org.